You're listening to Shared Security, a podcast that explores the bonds shared between people and technology. Hosted by Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. Welcome to episode 311 of the Shared Security Podcast. And this week, we're going to be talking about the most sophisticated iPhone exploit known to date. And then we'll jump into talking about Google settling a $5 billion privacy lawsuit over tracking people in incognito mode. Call me surprised with that.
Don't say that.
Okay, well, and then we're going to finish up with another Apple story about Apple's new iOS app called Journal and some of the privacy and security things that you probably need to know about if you are thinking about using that app. And I'd like to welcome our co-host, which is Kevin Johnson.
Woo-hoo!
Hello.
Kevin. Hello.
Hello. Welcome to our first episode of 2024.
Oh, you're right. This is. Because the one we recorded last week was already released. So,
yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
In my head, that one was just came out like yesterday or something. I don't know.
It did. But I recorded it at the end of the year. So it doesn't count technically.
Doesn't count. Okay.
That's right. And we don't have Scott today. So Scott is recovering, unfortunately, from COVID. He is fine. All is well. But we wish him a speedy recovery because I've had COVID. You've had COVID. I mean, it sucks. So,
yeah, it does.
So, happy New Year to all of our listeners.
Yeah, 2024. That's just.
Can you believe it?
I'd rather not.
What happened to 2023? I mean, we talked a lot in our last episode about what did happen in 2023 and what we think is going to happen in 2024, but I still can't believe it's here.
I don't know why. 2023 felt like it took forever. And now looking back on it, it's like it was no time at all. And I guess that's because I'm old, right? I had this conversation with one of my kids years and years ago when they were little. And like, you know, to like a five-year-old, the year was 20% of their life, right?
Yeah.
For me, a year is 2% of my life.
I'm telling you, it's crazy. So before we get into our stories, I do want to give our monthly Patreon shout out. So I want to thank our Patreons. So Johan, Dan, and Dylan, and Robert, thank you very much for being Patreons. And I do have an announcement about that. We're actually adding two more levels to our Patreon. So we have a $3 just member tier where if you just want to throw some cash at the podcast for helping us out. We greatly appreciate that. And then I have a $10 tier, includes a special gift. So
is it a sword?
There is not a sword. No, I'm sorry. That's the sword tier, which I haven't released yet, Kevin. You're not supposed to talk about
it. Oh, I'm sorry. No, you know we do a SIS mentorship, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if you take the SIS mentorship at Securitas or Antisipin or whatever, if you pass your SIS, but you tell us, which right now, currently, as far as we know, everybody who's taken the program has taken the test, but we give you a gift. And I probably shouldn't tell you what it is, but it's a challenge coin.
Yeah. Right?
That's but awesome. For some reason, the joke has started in the program that you get a sword. And it got to the point where a couple of the students have actually claimed at first that they received their CISSP security as sword. And so here was my thought, and I'm not sure I'm evil enough to do this, but I want to, is both of the people that have claimed they got swords then came out and acknowledged that they did not get a sword, that it, like, Kevin is not lying. There is no sword. It's, you know, it's not like a Fight Club or whatever.
Yeah.
So here's my thought. You know, swords aren't as expensive as they used to be. So how messed up would it be to send a sword to one of those two people and then completely deny we did it? So when the person comes into the jail is like, oh my God, I got a sword. This is ridiculous. We'll be like, what are you talking
about? Like, no idea.
He's already pretended he got one and then backtracked the pretending.
That is interesting. Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry. Well, yeah.
Yeah. So I'd like to just thank our Patreons. Much appreciated. And if you would like to become a Patreon yourself, you can go to sharedsecurity.net/supporter for more details on that. It would be much appreciated. So let's jump into our first story, which is this iPhone exploit. Now, it's called Operation Triangulation Spyware.
That's the bigger overarching.
Yeah.
Right. Not the exploit, but the program there, you know, the ongoing sort of attacks and compromises.
So there's two things about this that make it kind of significant. One, it's one of those zero click attacks, right? Yeah. So you just have to read the message and the exploit chain, I'll just say the chain begins. And I think the other aspect of this that makes it significant is the chain itself. Right, where we haven't seen anything this complex in terms of chaining different types of exploits together to achieve compromise of an iPhone. I actually want to just share my screen here, and I'll show all of you on YouTube watching the podcast. This is the attack chain itself. And, you know, starting with the iMessage account, the text message that you receive, and then the PDF file, which actually contains the first part of that exploit, and then going through this entire chain. So this is a lot of steps that this attacker or these attackers had to put together. And I just have to say, it's pretty impressive.
I think it's a really impressive attack set of attacks. The part that I don't know if judgmental about, I don't know if that's the right word, right? The part that throws me off is you have this beautiful, I mean, horrible attack chain. You have this great collection of exploits and obfuscators and just really, really cool high level stuff. And you threw them at an organization whose entire job is to analyze malware. And
yeah,
like that. I know. In my head, there's a very good chance that other people have been exploited with this. That Hursky wasn't.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. But I mean, like, hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to attack somebody. Who do we attack? Somebody with lots of money or that? No, let's go after researchers who could figure out what we did and flood it in one attack.
And that's a good point. Maybe I didn't preface this story with that fact is that these attackers were attacking Kaspersky, which, you know, they are researchers, security researchers. They obviously have their, you know, antivirus and all those products, right? But this absolutely was being used to target other individuals, no doubt in my mind.
This is the perfect type of attack to call APT.
Oh.
Like, we've made fun of this in the podcast before. Like, oh, it's APT. Somebody clicked the link. This is an advanced threat. This is...
Yeah.
It's precision. It absolutely qualifies. If we remove APT from its original definition, which was China. And I'm not saying this wasn't China. I'm just saying this is if somebody got popped by this and then came back and said, oh man, we did everything we could and we got popped by this, it was advanced. I'd be like, yeah, you're right. It was. Absolutely. Absolutely. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah. And it's been around since 2019. So. Yeah. You know, because of that period of time, you know, for a fact it's been used. The other thing that's interesting to me is we know about Pegasus. We know about those other NSO group types of exploits that are very well known. I often wonder if anything in this attack chain was probably leveraged by Pegasus or that other more advanced,
exploits. The TrueType font exploits have been a large, significant number of TrueType font flaws that have been exploited. So I've not dug into this one enough to know if they're related beyond the target being TrueType. I don't know. I bet you this has been in somebody's back pocket, and I would bet more than one person's back pocket for a bit.
Yeah. Completely. So Apple did release some patches for that. So, you know, again, I go back to your threat model, right? Would you be, you know, you listener of this podcast, be targeted by this? Highly unlikely, but...
Well, it depends on who the listener is.
It depends who the listener is, right? If you are a a government official with highly sensitive information, maybe a journalist or human rights activists. I mean, there's different things, right?
I agree with you 100%. I do think, and I know you, I know I'm not disagreeing with you. Now that it's out, apply the patch.
Yeah, apply the patch. I mean, it goes back to what we talk about, right? You should be always keeping your devices up to date, regardless of your threat model.
You want your organization to be secure and compliant and to have a healthy culture, but your employees' lack of awareness makes you vulnerable to data theft, fraud, and compliance penalties. It's frustrating that the boring static training content that's being used today has failed to improve employees' ability to defend against cyber attacks. At ClickArmor, we know that without using gamification, it's extremely hard to get staff to understand how to avoid threats. Our gamified simulations and challenges have provided a 50% average improvement in thousands of employees' ability to spot phishing threats. Go to clickarmor.ca/sharedsecurity to get your free gamified phishing assessment for up to 500 employees. You'll see quickly how gamified simulations can help your team be more resilient and compliant and help avoid costly ransomware and fraud incidents. Let ClickArmor help you go from being an underappreciated, stressed out fall guy to being an innovative leader who's the catalyst for greater productivity in your organization.
So we don't have Scott's for the next segments, but we will just talk about the story, which is Google has agreed to settle a $5 billion privacy lawsuit related to its incognito mode in the Chrome browser. And this has actually been filed. It was back in 2020. And of course, these lawsuits take a long time, years, right, to come to a settlement. But basically, the plaintiffs are arguing that Google's technology still gathered details of site visits. You know, this is like Google Ads, the Google Analytics. Those types of components were still being allowed even in incognito mode, and they could identify individuals or browsing habits even in that incognito mode.
I like how in the beginning you said, you know, unsurprising to me. I, you know, you can't say that, because if you want part of that settlement, you have to admit, I never knew. We've talked about it before, right? The best part about this case, in my opinion, is that I am sure I've not read transcripts. I'm looking forward to things being released. Because you know, that's what people call it all the time, right?
It is.
Not incognito. It's I'm looking at porn. So that's, don't use that quote when you do that.
I call it security research mode.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay. If we ignore Google for a second, by the way, I do want the listeners to know, I know you read the article as well, because you're sending it out. The settlement has not been settled. It's not been agreed to yet. It has to be, a judge has to approve it. And the 5 billion number is what they were asking for. We don't know the details of the settlement yet. So, when it finally comes out, I just want to pedantically qualify that. I think every article I've read about this has focused on, in my opinion, the wrong thing. For the lawsuit, it was important to talk about Google's tracking bypassing incognito mode, which was Google actively breaking their own implied stance, right? They imply, they explicitly say it, that you're not being tracked, stuff like that. Or they did explicitly say it. That was important for the case, in my opinion. But the thing that I think is important for people to consider is that Google's analytics, Google's tracking, Google's interaction to that kind of stuff is not the only client-side analytics and tracking that exists. And the problem still exists in incognito mode that these other systems, right, if the JavaScript is loaded, the JavaScript runs, and these companies have so much data. And so what really concerns me is that so many of these articles have talked about this as a win for privacy. And in my mind, it's not a win for privacy. What it is a win for a bunch of lawyers who are going to take a big chunk of $5 billion. It's going to be a small amount of money to people who file for that. Going to be a win for the people doing phishing, because they'll be able to trick you into clicking a link to get part of that settlement. But we haven't actually I haven't seen anything in these settlement proposals or anything else like that that will change the privacy at large. Mm-hmm. It will change what Google does with it. But this to me is the same problem as GDPR, right? GDPR said, we're going to protect privacy by going after Google. And really what GDPR was it enriched the European coppers and caused every website in the world to tell you they have cookies. It didn't do a lot. I won't say anything because all absolutes are wrong for privacy. This is not going to move the needle for privacy. This is going to move the needle for Google.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. And I think the other point is that you need to be careful using an incognito mode, right? I mean, we've talked about this before, right? Some people think that, oh, I'm completely private using this mode on my browser, and that is not the case at all.
Not at all.
Literally, it just cleans up the cookies and the things that are being saved to your local device and erases your internet history. That's it.
To me, incognito is troubleshooting mode. If I go to a website and I'm in trouble doing something with it, I turn on incognito mode and I go back to the website. That way, oh, did it set some cookie? Yeah. Did I get something cached that's causing problems and stuff like that? And then if the app works in incognito mode, then I go clear history and do all this kind of stuff to fix it. But it's a quick and dirty troubleshooting mode.
Yes.
I like you're calling it security research mode. Yeah. If I want to go to a website and get rid of some of the high level tracking, it can do that. But it is not a private mode. And that's important. I agree with you. You're right. That is absolutely important.
Yep. Yeah. And if, you know, that's where you could talk about VPNs and other, you know, types of tools, right? To, you know, kind of mask your IP address and who you are and that kind of thing. But yeah, you be very careful about the expectation of privacy when using incognito mode. So I want to jump to our last story, which I brought this up because it is the new year. And everybody, you know, it comes January 1st, right? We all talk about doing something, call them resolutions or goals for the new year, right? And I know journaling comes up quite a bit. And I, for one, am going to do more journaling this year. That's one of my 2024 goals. And I had happened to notice that my iOS device updated with this new app called Journal. And this wasn't something that was kind of, you know, announced widely by Apple. It just kind of showed up on people's devices. And so I've seen some questions from people like, what is this Journal app? Is this like the Notes app where I just put in whatever I want, right, into this app? And that is kind of the case, is Apple wants you to put in your entire life into this app, and it will actually suggest to you things like, hey, the photos you've taken or the, you know, the places you've been and things like that, and ask you, hey, do you want to journal about that? So it's been kind of interesting.
I'm sorry. I'm sitting here giggling.
You're laughing.
I'm laughing because I had this.
What did I do now?
You did nothing. You did nothing. And I'm so impressed that you just kept going as I'm giggling hysterically on my end. I don't have an iOS device. Not that I use. I've got
iOS
devices and stuff like that. So when you said it just showed up on people's devices, my first thought was, does it have a U2 theme?
Oh,
you remember when Apple pushed YouTube's
and people were pissed about that.
Yes.
People were mad. I was mad about that. I remember.
It wasn't that good of an album. And I didn't have much space on my device.
Yeah.
So please tell me it has a YouTube mode, like just a theme or something on it, because that will make it
no,
so good.
Unfortunately,
for me.
It doesn't.
Oh, so. Well, sorry. So I apologize.
Okay.
Struck me hilarious and I couldn't stop.
So I did want to talk a little bit about the security and privacy features, because that's one of the questions that I've seen people ask, since I mentioned that people are considering it like the Notes app. And I know the Notes app has gotten more security over the years. Like, you know, it does store at least the, you know, your notes encrypted and things like that. And so does the Journal, by the way. So all entries are encrypted, of course, when the iPhone is locked with a passcode, which you should be doing anyway, right? Yep. You can enable a secondary form of authentication. So you can use
Yep.
A passcode, face ID, touch ID, all of those things. All entries are end-to-end encrypted with, you know, to iCloud. So only you can access them. That's important. And then you can turn off all of that journaling suggestions, because one of the things that they're doing with this app is they're going to allow external API access. So apps could essentially talk to it. So if you're using, like, I don't know, a weight loss app or something, and it'll say, oh, would you like to journal about your weight loss journey? They will be kind of interfaces to that. But Apple is saying that the third party is not going to get your journal entry, right? That's going to be private to that app. And then the last thing is same thing with photos. So you could actually use photos and videos. Like, you can take them within the journaling app. They won't save to your photos app that, you know, goes to iCloud. So everything is kind of compartmentalized into this app. And that's what Apple has kind of done from a security and privacy perspective.
And I, you know, I won't claim that Apple is going to get it all right, but I do think that Apple has done pretty well at,
I agree,
thinking through the privacy aspects. And if, and my understanding from what I read is that those APIs that allow will be write only. Like, it'll be able to insert data into the journal, but not even read that data back out. Right.
Right.
If that's true, that's really good. Hey, I've got this API, because if I was to do journaling and I had an iOS device, I would absolutely want to be able to say, yeah, send this over to my journal. I want to note about this later. I want to talk about this later. That makes a lot of sense. I'll tell you, as somebody who travels a lot, and I'm looking at the amount of travel I'm going to do this year, and I'm already thinking, oh my gosh, one of the things I've always wanted to do, and I've not found a good way to do it, is to track where I was and what was good there, and what, like, the number of times I go to the city and I was there before, but I can't remember what barbecue place I went to that night, or, you know, as a dumb example, there was this absolutely amazing hole in the wall Korean restaurant in Dallas. I went there three or four nights on one trip, and I could not tell you the name of it, where it was, or anything else like that. And I try to, like, I rate them, I do that, stuff like that, but having a journal there, I could say, oh, I was at this hotel and it sucked. I was at this place, and not public. I don't need to make my opinion of something public, but that kind of stuff is cool.
It is cool.
It looks like they've taken really good care of respecting the privacy first.
Yeah,
I agree. We'll see if they keep that up, or if there are flaws, but the initial things they're talking about, I'm impressed by.
Yeah, definitely.
Not enough to get an iPhone.
No, I know. You'll stay Android for the foreseeable future. We'll see. All right, Kevin. Well, I think that's all we got time for today.
Woohoo!
I wish you well in 2024, of course, and I wish all of our listeners the same. So thank you for listening and supporting the podcast. We got great things planned for this year. It's already talking about interviews, or maybe rescheduling a few interviews.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That didn't quite work out, but that's okay. We got some good plans. So with that, we will talk to you all next week. And in the meantime, stay safe, stay secure, and stay private. Thanks for watching or listening to this episode. Please subscribe wherever you like to listen to podcasts, and visit us at sharedsecurity.net or on X at SharedSec. If you'd like to help support the podcast and get early access to new episodes with no ads, plus many more exclusive benefits, become an official supporter of the podcast for only $5 a month. Visit sharedsecurity.net/supporter for more details.